Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, we are back at it here on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. And folks, we are back to your regularly scheduled programming that you can listen to on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. You know, we've been off the air for a couple of weeks due to our special airing of the Senate impeachment hearings. And this is the first show since we began airing those hearings on AM 870 and 105.1 FM. So, hello, radio world. I missed you all. But the diehard Current Sports fans know that, hey, you could have caught Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/WKAR News and watched the live stream. So we thank you guys who did that and rocked out with Current Sports while we were away from the radio. We got a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. You know, we weren't on the air yesterday, of course, due to our Senate impeachment hearings that we aired here. So I didn't get a chance to weigh in on the Super Bowl in Radio Land, and I want to talk about the Super Bowl a bit and kind of dive into, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs getting that win, and also, you know, the halftime performance of Jennifer Lopez and Shakira. How much did you enjoy that? Did you like the commercials? Was it a great experience for you all? I'll weigh in on that. So we'll talk some Super Bowl, but we will start our discussion / debate section of the show by talking some Michigan State men's basketball, because we also have to talk about where this team is right now, coming off of the road loss to Wisconsin on Saturday. That was a 1-point loss, but let's be real here. I mean, that final bucket came in garbage time. Wisconsin had the game in the bag. Wisconsin getting that win, Michigan State having multiple opportunities to not just compete, but come back, pull off a comeback victory. We got some things to talk about, especially when you take into consideration that tonight MSU Men's Hoops will be back in action playing a pretty good Penn State basketball team. So we'll preview Penn State. We'll talk about what happened against Wisconsin. And we'll invite all of you beautiful people to be a part of the show. We will also, I have to say this, we will also be giving away a pair of tickets to tonight's Michigan State and Penn State men's basketball game. All right, stay tuned to find out how you can win two tickets to tonight's game. All right, but if you want to just weigh in and talk some sports with us, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, the Facebook is up at facebook.com/WKAR News. Now, you can also tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next? We got Jack Kerwin behind the glass pushing us along here with your Current Sports quick hit headliners. right, let's start with Michigan State women's basketball as the injury-plagued Michigan State women's basketball team could not handle the many weapons of number 13 Maryland, falling 94-53 at the Xfinity Center last night. Michigan State was already without seniors Victoria Coco Gaines and Shea Colley, along with redshirt junior Madrika Cook, who are done for the season. Really tough losses there. Already sidelined with multiple injuries, the Spartans were down two more players yesterday, with both sophomore guard Tori Osmond and freshman Julia Arault missing the game. Senior guard Taryn McCutcheon also suffered an injury in the third quarter and did not return. I mean, Gaines, Colley, Cook, Osmond, Arault, and now McCutcheon? So Michigan State drops to 11-11 overall, 4-7 in the Big Ten, and have lost now four straight games. Maryland improves to 17-4 overall and 9-2 in league contests, having now won seven in a row. But you got to feel for Susie Merchant. And I feel like now, you know, at least three out of the last, you know, five seasons, we've seen her team suffer injuries at key points of the year. I mean, how can you expect to compete when you have key players like that out? So MSU women's basketball, hoping that, you know, they can just stay competitive here as they move along now. And the next game that they will play will be against Northwestern on the road come Monday. That will be a 9 p.m. tip time. All right, the Michigan State men's basketball team, as I mentioned, they will take on the Penn State Nittany Lions at home inside of the Breslin Center. Michigan State trying to continue to hold down that number one spot in the Big Ten Conference, sitting at 16-6 overall. Penn State, though, playing some really good basketball. Penn State is 16-5 and competing for, you know, the top spot in the Big Ten as well. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Michigan State trying to rebound after that road loss to the Wisconsin Badgers this past weekend. We'll have more on that game in just a moment. And also, again, that's the tip time at 8 p.m., but you can check out the Michigan men's basketball team. They will tip off an hour prior to Michigan and Penn State, Michigan State and Penn State do, as Michigan will tip off against Ohio State tonight at 7 p.m. inside of the Chrysler Center. So Michigan right now is 13-8. Ohio State comes into that matchup at 14-7. So Michigan basketball at 7, Michigan State at 8. All right, and the Detroit Pistons, they fell to the Memphis Grizzlies last night, 96-82, falling to 18-34 on the year. This is a game after the Pistons stormed back after being down big against the Denver Nuggets, forcing overtime and getting that win. So a little fight left in the Pistons from time to time, I guess. But they lose last night, and now we're hearing rumors about the Pistons possibly trading third-year guard Luke Kennard. So Thursday... What are you going to get for Luke Kennard? It's like, you know, I had a conversation last night about this, and it's like, dude, if you're going to trade somebody, trade Derrick Rose. Like, okay, let's get something for your money if you're going to trade somebody. What are you really going to get with the Phoenix Suns trading for Luke Kennard? It's like, dude, I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on with Pistons upper management. I don't know what they want to do here. But if you think you're going to get an immediate impact player,
no,
you're not.
No, you're absolutely not. You're going to get a first-round pick for him.
Oh, my God.
And we're going to tear this thing down, and we're going to try to build it the right way.
We've been tearing it down for the past 10 years, Jack.
No, like, we haven't.
We have rebuilt.
When have we picked in the top five?
Come on now.
So, therefore, it's not a real rebuild. That's the problem. They've been trying to make the playoffs without getting great players throughout the draft. I want to sink to the bottom of the draft so that you can build a contender.
Because of time, I'm going to rebound on this before we end the show. Please remind me.
Okay.
And I'll tackle that.
But fair enough.
This makes no sense to me.
All right.
So, Luke Kennard, that's the rumor we're hearing right now. A source with firsthand knowledge of the situation confirmed that the Pistons are receiving trade calls from teams seeking to make a deal for Kennard, a first-round pick out of Duke in 2017. So, the source said the Pistons were not close to making a deal. As of this morning, ESPN's NBA insider, now this is the official guy, my man Adrian Wojnarowski, he reported last night that the Pistons were discussing a deal that would send Kennard to the Suns for a future first-round pick and possibly two young point guards in Eli Okobo and Javon Carter. Yeah, that's what I'm – come on, dude. The appeal is the draft pick, of course. That will allow the Pistons to add a future asset as the franchise seeks to jumpstart a rebuild. The Suns at 20 and 30 are 11th in the draft lottery. The Pistons are 7th after losing in Memphis yesterday. The Suns actually visit LCA tomorrow night. Also, at the request of Kobe Bryant's wife, Vanessa Bryant, she will be given some of the items left by thousands of fans at the makeshift memorial for the NBA legend at the L.A. Lakers home of the Staples Center, the house that Kobe built. Lee Zeidman, the president of the Staples Center, L.A. Live, and Microsoft Theater, said in a tweet yesterday that the dismantling of the memorial to Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter Gianna, who were both, of course, among 9 people killed in that helicopter crash, began at 4 a.m. Among the items were over 1,300 basketballs that were boxed, a 40-yard trash bin filled with flowers from the memorial will be made into mulch and spread throughout the landscaping around LA Live and Staples Center. Additionally, 14 banners, 25,000 candles, 5,000 letters, signs, and flags, 500 stuffed animals, and hundreds of shoes were also collected. You know, I was just thinking to myself, how cool would that be to have all of those items in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame? Maybe have like a Kobe Bryant wing. Or maybe even like a Kobe Bryant museum. That'd be awesome stuff. But rest in peace to Kobe, man. Still doesn't feel real. The Detroit Red Wings, they fell to the Philadelphia Flyers yesterday. 3-0, falling to 12-38-4 on the year. Jack types in my notes that they are just so unwatchable. Did you watched a bit of that game yesterday, Jack, which is rare. Was that like the first Red Wings game in like months for you?
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, it wasn't more than 5 or 6 minutes, just because, you know, football season's over now. I got to find other stuff to tune into. Thank God for the ESPN app, where I can get hockey games in Canada because they own TSN, obviously. So I was able to watch a couple good teams go at it last night. But yeah, I watched them for 5 or 6 minutes. They're completely unwatchable.
So yeah, you talk about rebuilding. They are certainly in rebuild mode over there. Okay, and the Detroit Lions filled a roster spot with a former first-round pick yesterday. Offensive guard Josh Garnett. He signed as a free agent. The franchise announced contract terms have not been disclosed. Garnett, 6'5", 305, played for the San Francisco 49ers from 2016 to 2018. He was released before the 2019 campaign, appeared in just 22 games with the 49ers, including 11 starts, after being drafted 28th overall out of Stanford in the 2016 NFL draft. He did not see the field in 2017. Also, I saw a bunch of rumors out there. Who knows how true they are? But I saw on Super Bowl Sunday, Jack, that Matthew Stafford is trying to force a trade with some other team and wants out of the Detroit Lions camp. I don't know how true that is, but it was making the rounds. I don't know if you were on Twitter during the Super Bowl, but he was trending for a little bit because of that.
I did not, and I don't believe that it is true. That being said, I would love for that to happen, absolutely, and the Lions could take Tua third overall. I would love for that to happen.
I would, too. I would, too. Dude. Draft Tua. You see how young quarterbacks are ripping up the league right now. I know Tua has got some injuries, and they were pretty serious.
Well, news flash out.
Alabama.
Matt Stafford's got injuries, too.
Exactly. I was just about to say that. Matthew Stafford has injuries as well. And I just want to see Matthew Stafford. I love him as a person. I want to see him go to a team that can legitimately compete in the playoffs and could possibly bring him a ring.
Yep.
I just feel bad for the guy. Still, I feel bad for any player who suits up for the...
No, I agree. And part of it is my love for Matthew Stafford as well. I mean, he's been the quarterback of the Lions my like whole upbringing, and I think he's a very good quarterback. And I think this speaks way more to the organization failing him than it speaks to Stafford's play that I want him out. I do want him to get a chance to win, just like you said. And, you know, at this point in time, he's like 32 years old. He's had back injuries the last couple of years. I don't really see it happening here in Detroit. I would love for it to happen somewhere else. Meanwhile, the Lions can get younger at the position with a quarterback who I think is absolutely incredible in Tua Tagovailoa.
And as I read the rumor on Sunday, I just said to myself, look, I mean, back injuries are pretty serious. He's had back-to-back years now in which he has had back injuries, and we all know about the health issue that his wife had. I mean, a lot of that, you combine all that stuff, man, and then you're losing. You're playing for a losing franchise. You'll reevaluate some stuff as a man, as a player.
Oh, 100%.
Your career, if all of that compiles upon you. Right?
And then you see, like, what happened with Andrew Luck last year. And that's been on my mind ever since he was placed on the IR, or really since he was hurt down the stretch last season, is that, you know, he's finished with broken bones in his back the past two seasons. That's very serious. You know, that's nothing to joke about. It wouldn't surprise me if the Lions didn't move him, and if in a year or two he pulled an Andrew Luck and just said, I'm done.
Yep. I can see that too, man. So, again, I don't know how much truth that is. There is to that story, I should say. But we'll just have to wait and see. All right. Well, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, you can weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News if you feel like watching the live stream there and just typing in there. Also, you know what? You know, shout out to our very own Drew Henderson, who actually set this up. And, you know, we're going to try this out at some point this hour, probably after this intro. You can also text us if you want to let your voice be heard. You can text us at 517-355-9527. That's the same number that you can call, 517-355-WKAR. If you text us, you can, you know, if you feel more comfortable doing that, you can also weigh in that way. All right, so we'll try that out for today's show. And, you can hop on Twitter as well. So multiple ways in which you can weigh in. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, folks, you know what? I just want to, let's just get this out the way right now, Jack. Caller number, in honor of Kobe, caller number 8. There'll be some calls coming in. I know, Jack. There'll be a lot of calls.
Jeez, all righty.
I'm putting you to work behind the glass. Caller number 8, in honor of Kobe.
Speaks to my love for you that I'll put up with this.
Exactly. Caller number 8 will get the tickets for tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game. Blow up our phone lines right now. Put Jack to work, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. If you're calling number 8, you got the tickets. If you're not, call back until we, of course, announce who the winner is. So you'll get those two tickets for tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game. And the Spartans, boy, oh, boy, a few things to address when it comes to this team because, you know, the road woes continue for Michigan State. You know, everybody was feeling good after that blowout win over Northwestern. You know, I heard a lot of people like, yeah, finally we're hitting our stride now. We figured things out. Michigan State is going to start to roll. And I came on the air the day after that game and said, look, can we pump the brakes a little bit? You know, it's Northwestern. You're supposed to beat Northwestern like that. And that was a game in which Michigan State still, these first half woes, these out the gate woes that the Spartans are having at times. Now, in that game, they started off the game well, and then Northwestern was able to come back. Michigan State had a lot of turnovers, a lot of mental mistakes, and it was just an 11-point game at halftime. And then Michigan State closed the game extremely well. It was just that middle part of that performance that allowed Northwestern to have some kind of confidence and stay in that game. But as has been the problem multiple times throughout this year against Wisconsin, and again, going back to that, a lot of people were up on Michigan State after that win against Northwestern, but it's Northwestern. They are the bottom feeders of the Big Ten Conference. You are supposed to do what you did against Northwestern. That's just handling business. On the road, though, against Wisconsin on Saturday, Michigan State came out so flat. It was deja vu all over again because Michigan State has done this over and over and over. And they dug themselves this early hole playing in another raucous environment. Wisconsin was hitting shots left and right. And then you try to turn it on in the second half, and it was just too little too late. Now, again, the easy scapegoat here when looking at that game is Xavier Tillman. I know Xavier Tillman was 2-for-11 for shots inside of 5 feet. 2-for-11. Left and right, I kept hearing Gus Johnson say, oh, Tillman with another loss. That's a layup. Come on, man. You can't miss. You know, left and right, how many times did we hear Gus Johnson say another missed layup by Xavier Tillman? And he had four straight blown layups on four straight possessions. So, the easy take would be if Xavier Tillman just makes half of those shots, we aren't sitting here talking about a Michigan State men's basketball loss against Wisconsin on Saturday afternoon, without a doubt. But look at the entire picture. We all know what the problem is for this basketball team right now. When they are on the road, Michigan State does not get off to good starts. It's glaring. I don't know what is happening here, but when you look at the ugly road results just last month, bad starts to games. They fell behind 18-6 after 7.5 minutes at Wisconsin. 18-4 in that same time frame at Indiana. How about at Purdue? 19-4. I mean, just those three games alone, it was a combination of Michigan State not playing well offensively mixed with those teams playing very well and hitting a lot of shots that they don't normally hit. But again, teams get up for Michigan State. We all know that. It's not a new thing by now. You know that. And Michigan State was also just flat, just kind of going through the motions. You could see it bleeding through your television screen. Michigan State has not been ready to play on the road far too often, and that's an issue. And check this. In Michigan State's four Big Ten road games since the beginning of January, the Spartans already came a combined 9-for-40. 9-for-40 in the first 7-plus minutes. I mean, come on now. 2-for-11 at Purdue, 1-for-8 at Indiana, 3-for-10 at Minnesota, 3-for-11 on Saturday in Madison, Wisconsin. Horrible numbers. Throughout the first 7-plus minutes of the game, it's almost half of the first half. And Michigan State treating the game like a light switch, like you just put on a light switch anytime you want and just turn it on. It's not going to happen on the road or against solid teams. It is just not. And they know it too. You know, I mean, come on. This is not rocket science right now. I mean, you know, Tom Izzo, let it be known. He doesn't know. He's trying to figure out how to get his team ready on the road against not even just good competition, but, you know, regular, just anybody right now. I don't know what it is about these starts. Now, in some kind of Michigan State defense, take it for what it's worth, but they did have two players battling the flu. One of those players was the all-important Gabe Brown. Gabe Brown is still dealing with this flu bug of his. Against Northwestern, he had to have teammates actually pick him up and down him with fluid so that he can play some kind of minutes in that game. I'm just hoping that this flu bug doesn't you know, impact other team, other players, excuse me, on that roster. But, you know, Gabe Brown, when he, because he's a big part of the game. He has turned himself into a Michigan State starter who is very productive, very effective. We all know who the other guy is, and that's Aaron Henry. You know, Aaron Henry has been, I will say this, because I got on Aaron 3 weeks ago for not even being aggressive. He has been much more aggressive, but he hasn't been efficient shooting the basketball, especially in the opening minutes. You know, you could turn back the clock to Minnesota when actually Aaron Henry, you know, he came off the bench and he came in and was in the flow. I don't know if you have to go back to that. You know, I was surprised that Izzo didn't go back to that formula with Aaron Henry against Northwestern. You know, we talked about it here on the air. You know, what we see Aaron Henry come off the bench again, but he moved back into the starting lineup and played in that game, and he was good in stretches. But, you know, that Minnesota performance, I was very, very impressed. I don't know if it's a mental thing. Try it out. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I've always adhered to that philosophy. At least try it again and see if Aaron is more comfortable maybe coming off the bench and being that sixth man, and maybe he's immediately in tune with the game after visually seeing the game for a couple of minutes. I don't know. At this point, it's try anything. So, you know, Michigan State right now, they're hard to read for me. The comforting thing, and I'm not trying to overreact here with this negative take. The comforting thing is that even with these bad road starts, they found a way to win a couple, and they are still in competition to win the Big Ten Conference, which at the end of the day, that's really all that matters right now. I mean, you know, the fact that they have played this bad on the road, other teams have played bad on the road as well. Michigan State is not alone in that fact. But you got to keep pace now, because right now it's a dead tie with Illinois atop the Big Ten Conference. And then, it's going to be fun here. When you look at this final stretch of the Big Ten push in February, it is going to get very fun. It's going to be must-see TV for college basketball fans out there, because Illinois and Michigan State tied atop the Big Ten at 8-3. But then you have Maryland, the number 9 team in the country, at 7-3, just a half game back. Then you've got Rutgers at 7-4, just a game back. They are tied with Iowa, the number 17 team in the nation, at 7-4, a game back. And then Penn State, don't count out Penn State or Wisconsin, especially Penn State, because Penn State is playing some really good basketball right now. Penn State at 6-4 is just a game and a half back. Wisconsin, 2 games back at 6-5. So you've got it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got like a 6-team race right now for a Big Ten championship. It is going to be very, very fun to see how this whole thing plays out. For Penn State tonight, you know, the Nittany Lions, they will make the NCAA tournament. They are playing some really good basketball. This will be when they do it, when they make the NCAA tournament. This will be its first appearance in 9 years. Penn State's first appearance in 9 years. Not close to the bubble here, folks. They got wins over Syracuse, Alabama, Maryland, Iowa, Ohio State, Indiana, and also at Michigan. That's a pretty solid resume. And again, they're in this Big Ten title hunt. 3 of the Nittany Lions' top 5 scorers come off the bench. How about Isaiah Brockington? He's averaging 9.7 points per game in Big Ten play. Then you got big man Mike Watkins. You will hear his name a lot. Mike Watkins has been playing some great basketball. I've got the opportunity to check out a few of his most recent games. You know, he reminds me, you know, Mike Watkins kind of reminds me a lot of Xavier Tillman. Can't even lie. He's similar in play when it comes to Xavier Tillman. Mike Watkins is a force. He's averaging 8.2 points per game. Then you also have guard Miles Dredd, who's averaging 7.2 points per game. But shout out to senior star Lamar Stevens, who is becoming a very efficient player for Penn State. And this thing about Penn State, man, you know, the turnover problems that we've seen happen throughout multiple games for Michigan State this year. Again, it reared its ugly head against Northwestern. If Michigan State doesn't take care of the basketball against Penn State, it could get ugly. I mean, because Penn State, that's what they live off of. They are a pesky team. They play the passing lanes well. They've got active hands. Right now, the Nittany Lions are leading the Big Ten in steals, averaging 7.4 steals per game, Jack. That is a ton. That is what they do. So we can't see any lazy passes. You better make sure if you're giving up the rock to a teammate that it is a solid pass. That there is no way that Penn State defender can get in that passing lane, because with the way they play the passing lane, if there is any chance that ball is going to be stolen, you better believe at least a hand, at least a paw is going to get on it. So again, leading the Big Ten in steals right now, and are also second in block shots, and that's due a lot to the play of guys like Mike Watkins. Mike Watkins, I mean, he is a man down there. So this will not be an easy game. And for me, this is a game in which Cassius Winston is going to need a lot of help. You cannot have an average game from Aaron Henry or Gabe Brown. Aaron Henry, and especially on the other side of the basketball for Aaron Henry, because Henry is going to be guarding Stevens. That's going to be an interesting matchup to watch tonight. Henry is most likely going to be guarding Lamar Stevens, and Lamar Stevens is a handful on the offensive end. So can Aaron have a great game on both ends of the floor? They are going to need him to step up here. This is a big game. He cannot be subpar tonight. And I'm hoping that Gabe Brown is healthier and can give you some good minutes. At the end of the day, I'm going to go here. And Michigan State right now is an 8.5-point favorite. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, Jack, but I believe Michigan State right now is favored by 8.5. I'm tempted to pick Penn State here, but Michigan State is a different team at home, Jack. I'm going to go Michigan State in a tight one. I don't think Michigan State covers those 8.5. I think Michigan State pulls out maybe a 3 or 4 point win here.
No, I would agree with that. Yeah, you're correct. MSU is -8.5 right now, especially when you consider that potentially the flu is going around in the locker room. That's a lot of points against a ranked team like Penn State. So I would agree with you on that. Otherwise, you know, the Aaron Henry thing I think is interesting if he's going to be guarding Lamar Stevens, just because he's one of the guys, along with Gabe Brown, that's dealt with this flu bug. So will he be up to task in guarding a player like Stevens? I guess we'll have to see. I agree. I think they'll win because they are a different team at home. So we'll see what happens. But, I got the Spartans.
It's something at home with Michigan State, man. They find another gear. They come out ready to play. Yeah. They're locked in. Tom Izzo, I mean, just listening to how angry he has been, especially after that Wisconsin loss, I mean – I'm going off my emotion here that Tom Izzo is going to have them ready to play. The leaders know how important this game is. I mean, you're tied, for goodness sake, with Illinois. This game is huge, and you got to take care of home.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm sorry I don't have more to offer you on this one. It's just
fine.
I'm kind of burned out on the Spartans right now, to be honest with you, just because they've dropped a couple games on the road that they definitely should not have. And, you know, this will be a chance to bounce back, and they probably will, but we obviously need to see a lot more from them the next time they head out on the road, you know, this Saturday against Michigan.
Certainly. All right. And we do have a winner for the tickets. Jack, who will be heading to tonight's Michigan State and Penn State men's basketball game.
Congratulations to Paul in East Lansing. And shout out to Al as well for making my day a lot more interesting for about a 3 to 4 minute span, as, you know, several people called, you know, oftentimes more than once to try to land the tickets. But no, they will go to Paul. Congratulations to him. That's room 212 where he can pick the tickets up, correct?
Yeah, you got it, man.
All right, awesome.
Paul, awesome job. Thank you for listening. Appreciate your support. And thank you for everybody who called in to try and win those tickets. Again, Michigan State, after this game, has something like just three or four home games left, something like that, which is crazy. So we'll be giving away a pair of tickets throughout the rest of the home slate for you guys. But it's hard to believe, man, that we are already in the beginning of February, and we'll be knocking on the door of March very, very soon here. Gotta love it, man. Nothing like March Madness, nothing like college basketball around this time of the year. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Super Bowl. How much did you enjoy it? Would love to hear from you guys. You can call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also now text that number if you would like to be a part of the show. We'll be right back. Happy Tuesday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Thank you for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your day. Before we do a brief recap of the Super Bowl, a few things I want to get to. Again, you can call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also now text that very same number if you would like to be a part of the show. All right, so when you text, give me your name and where you're from and just go at it, man. And I'll read your text live here on the airwaves.
Understanding that we still have to be FCC compliant and we will not read anything that is
right.
Inappropriate over the airwaves just because you're texting it in now.
Exactly, of course. Yeah, I mean, come on now. You know, if you do text some garbage, I'm just going to act like I didn't see it. So, yeah.
Or he'll share it with me off the air. And we'll both have a laugh, but it's not getting read on the air.
You'd think that'd be common sense, right?
Jake? You'd think. On, you'd think.
A few stories I just want to highlight real quick. Jack, you chimed in my ear just a minute ago during that brief break and let me know about this news as the New York Knickerbockers have parted ways with team president Steve Mills. GM Scott Perry will oversee the team's basketball operations in the interim. And Knicks owner James Dolan is possibly going to target Toronto Raptors president. He was the mastermind behind that championship season just a year ago. Masai Ujiri to run the franchise's basketball ops. I could see that possibly happening. I mean, still, yeah, the Knicks have been trash for a long, long time. But it's still the New York Knicks. It's still the quote-unquote mecca of basketball out there at MSG, and they probably offer him a lot of money. That also would be a big selling point. So we'll see if Masai makes that move or if he decides to stay out in Toronto. Also, want to let you guys know, and we knew this was coming, right? That the Hall of Fame voter who snubbed Derek Jeter has decided to keep his ballot private. Yeah, Derek Jeter, he was one vote away from being a unanimous selection to go into the Baseball Hall of Fame. He was on 396 of the 397 ballots in voting announced on January 21st. He was elected along with Colorado Rockies slugger Larry Walker. And, you know, it's up to you. You can choose to come out and say, yeah, I voted for DJ or Walker, or you can, you know, stay anonymous. And of course, this lone baseball writer who did not vote for Jeter has chose to keep his ballot private because I'm pretty sure he would get a lot of hate from the public for that. That's just inviting negative energy into your life if you decide to say, hey, yes, I am the guy who decided not to vote for Derek Jeter to go into the Hall of Fame. I mean, my goodness, why would you even do that, Jack? I mean, first of all, why would you not vote for DJ? I still don't get that, but there's a lot of greats.
Attention, to be a contrarian.
Exactly. There's a lot of greats who did not become unanimous selections that I think were far more deserving of going in as unanimous selections than Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
I can go on and on and on. But, you know, you're that one guy. I mean, so, yeah, if he came out, you know, publicly and said that I'm the guy, oh, my goodness. His life, he is inviting dark, dark demons into his life.
That's no question. No question about that. So, yeah. There is a major rumor surfacing on Twitter that I just saw somebody tweet that is very near and dear to the hearts of everyone listening to this program. I will not elaborate any more beyond that because I need some form of confirmation or from a more credible source than this. But we have something on the horizon here, potentially.
What? Jack, you really just gave the biggest tease in the world, and I don't even know what you're talking about.
I did. Like, I do want to work in radio as a full-time job one day, so I guess it shows I could be good. I could be good at that. Maybe I'll chime in your ear when we go to break.
That's a huge. Can you give the? Can you give any of our listeners any kind of hint? It's a rumor. It's just a rumor.
It is, but it's from Ant Wright, though. So go to Ant Wright's Twitter page.
Who's Ant Wright? I don't even know.
You don't know who Ant Wright is? He used to play basketball for the University of Michigan. Somewhat credible guy, I guess I would say. So he's not a journalist. He doesn't cover the team. He's reporting on a rumor
that has to do with Michigan basketball,
Michigan State football,
Michigan State football.
Correct. Near and dear to the hearts of all Spartans. So
all right.
We're not going to run with it, but if you want to go to Ant Wright's Twitter page, you can see what I'm talking about.
Gotcha. All right. Well, there you go. Talk about a tease. Yeah. Okay. And I'm also seeing some comments on our Facebook page here. James is asking, what is the phone number? 517-355-9527. For those watching the live stream, I got it right there on our little small billboard here. 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Or you can now text that number if you want to weigh in. You know, I'm going to check it right now. Nothing as of yet. So, yeah, shoot us a text, and I'll read it live here on the airwaves. Okay, Super Bowl. Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. You know what, Jack? You know, I had predicted a Kansas City Chiefs 10-point victory. They won by 11, but I also said it was going to be boring and was not going to be competitive. I was totally wrong on that. It was a competitive game. And then in hindsight is 20/20. I'm sitting there saying to myself, well, Al, you said it was going to be a boring Super Bowl and a blowout, but you said a 10-point victory for Kansas City. 10 points is relatively close when talking about football.
Sure, and I mean, it wasn't really a 10-point victory so much as 4 and then the garbage time touchdown, right?
Exactly. This was a very competitive game. I thoroughly enjoyed it. At first, you had this battle in the first half between the 49ers and Chiefs that led to the game being tied by halftime. I thought that the key for both of those teams in that first half and trying to slow down those respective offenses was getting pressure on both Jimmy G and Patrick Mahomes. They were able to throw in some blitz packages and really put some pressure on Mahomes, and that led to some sporadic decisions by him. Also, that one interception that was just like, whoa, you never see that from Mahomes. But he threw a pick, an easy, just, I didn't understand it. Didn't understand it. But they were able to get pressure on him. Also, they were able to get pressure, the Chiefs were able to get pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo in moments. And if Jimmy G and that San Francisco 49ers offense does not have a run game and you solely rely heavily, I wouldn't say solely, but you rely heavily on the arm of Jimmy Garoppolo, it's usually not going to turn out to be a San Francisco Chiefs win. We saw
San Francisco Chiefs, eh?
San Francisco 49ers win, excuse me. The thing is, Jack, when you look at that game for me, I was so entertained, man. I mean, I can't remember the last time I was like glued to my television watching two. It's been not in the last 5 years. I can't recall a Super Bowl where I was that much involved with that game as a fan. Just like, wow, this is just fun to watch.
So that game was more entertaining to you than Eagles-Patriots was?
Yeah, maybe. What was the score in that
41-33. The Eagles didn't punt the whole game. Or 28-3?
I can't recall it. I can't recall it,
Or 28-3, Falcons-Patriots?
Maybe it was because, you know what? I think the added layer for me was watching. I love watching Patrick Mahomes
play. Too.
Like,
me too.
Watching Patrick Mahomes play the quarterback position is just so exciting. Because you see something. I see things from him that you don't normally see from an average quarterback in the league.
You know what's not exciting about that Super Bowl? Would be having San Francisco money line and being up 10 points in the fourth quarter with like 8 minutes left and then seeing the game fall apart. Yeah,
I saw your tweet. You, I know you're hurting.
I was dead on the inside walking back from my buddy's apartment. Yeah, I was dead on the inside at the end of that Super Bowl.
I see why you weren't happy, brother. I see why
I was not thrilled. And it's too bad because if I wouldn't have put my money on the Niners, I absolutely would have been rooting for the Chiefs.
Right.
Like Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. Absolutely.
It was beautiful to watch, man. And
no, it was not even remotely beautiful to watch. It was horrific. Jimmy Garoppolo stinks.
Yeah,
he stinks.
Well, I tried to tell you, Jack. I mean, Jimmy G, don't you? I think he's a good quarterback. You just don't fall into the Super Bowl. But as far as him being like elite, we still
absolutely not. No, he's absolutely not elite.
That 49ers defense carried them.
And his running game, and he's got great weapons. He's got the best tight end in football, and he's got, you know, a great up and coming receiver in Debo Samuel, another great veteran in Emmanuel Sanders. They don't ask him to do a whole lot, and when they ask him to put the game away late in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, he was unable to do so.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, I loved it, man. And you know, as far as the spectacle around the Super Bowl, that being the halftime show, whoa. That was a fun halftime show to watch. Jeff.
Didn't watch it.
I am not even a huge fan of Shakira or Jennifer Lopez, but yo, I was having a conversation with our own Brad Walker about how fun it was to see. And it was a salute to Latin American culture. And I thought they did a magnificent job. You know, Miami, you know, with my mom living in Miami area, she lives like 15 minutes away from Hard Rock Stadium. You know,
sounds horrible.
Yeah,
for that Super Bowl, at least.
Yeah,
must have been a nightmare.
I was down there. Well, they actually went. They weren't in the Miami area to see the game. They went to, I think the Fort Lauderdale area to go check out the game.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So they weren't in the midst of the craziness. But you know, if for those who know Miami, you know that it's a heavy, you know, Latin American culture down there. I mean, you got Puerto Ricans and Cubans and Dominicans and, you know, Jennifer Lopez and Shakira. I mean, they are that in America. Jennifer Lopez did a great job of saluting the you know, Puerto Rican culture and background that she has, being from the Bronx, New York. And Shakira, you know, she's Colombian, and she gave a salute to her Colombian culture. And it was just beautiful, man. I think J-Lo at one point even brought out her daughter, and she sung a song. You know, and you know, we got to tally up, too. So I love the halftime show. There's a lot of people out there saying, I saw on social media, and I've been watching different pop culture shows out there when it comes across my Facebook timeline, snippets of pop culture shows saying that it was too provocative and kids are watching. And I'm like, what? They were fully clothed? You know, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know. I just think that Shakira and J-Lo, they are just they're beautiful individuals, Jack, and they have some songs that are maybe seductive with the lyrics, I guess. But as far as me sitting there saying, oh, close your eyes, kids, I wasn't saying that watching it. I thought it was beautiful, man.
I mean, I guess I disagree with that, but I don't think it's like a worthwhile argument for us to have because I don't care enough about it.
Yeah,
so
I know you don't care. I don't even know why I'm
You
didn't even watch the halftime show.
No, I didn't. I mean, I saw the highlights of it, obviously, what surfaced on Twitter. I guess, I mean, the issue I take with it is the NFL is obviously, you know, branded as a family show. And that's not something if I had a kid that I would let my 7 or 8 year old son or daughter see. So that was the issue I had with it.
Really?
No, absolutely not.
But you didn't see it. So
I saw the highlights of it. I saw plenty of it on social media and I was in the room while the show was going on. I just didn't pay attention to it.
You wouldn't let if you had little Jack or a little Susie.
No, not if they're like under the age of probably 15 or 16. No.
Kidding me? Am I reading this wrong? I want to hear from the listeners.
No, I think you're definitely in the majority on this. But
you're
that's
the minority.
Yeah, I think I am. Yeah. I think I'm fighting a losing battle with this argument, and I also don't care enough about it. But
I think the opposite. I think you're in the majority here. From what I saw on social media, people were outraged. Like, oh, it was too seductive, and, you know, you had all these you know.
I'm not outraged.
People on Twitter.
Understand, I'm not outraged. I don't care enough to be outraged. I stay in my own lane, but, yeah, my opinion, no, I don't think that was suitable for kids.
Wow, interesting, man. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was great. I don't know. I would love to hear from parents out there, you know, for those who were, you know, watching that Super Bowl halftime show with with their little ones. I mean, did you have a problem with it? You know, we'd love to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR. You can text us as well. But I thought the whole spectacle was great. I thought Miami did it right. And shout out to Jay-Z. You know, the NFL has hired Jay-Z to be like the man when it comes to entertainment for the NFL now. And Jay-Z, in year one, you knocked it out the park when hiring J-Lo and Shakira to be a part of that show. I would have loved, though, if there was one problem I had. You guys know I'm a hip-hop head. I would have loved to have seen J-Lo bring out Ja Rule with that first song. That would have been fire. But it was a great halftime show. So now we go into the offseason, and we will be turning our attention to the NFL draft out in Las Vegas. That is going to be fun. You know, I talked about how Vegas is, you know, you got to do it big. It's Vegas. Vegas is really going all out for this year's NFL draft, and they're going to have, like, the stage in the center of, like, the, I don't know what you call it, the pool at the Bellagio. Not the pool. It's not a pool. It's not open to the public, but the, you know, the water area of the Bellagio Hotel, and they're going to have like a boat going to the stage, taking draftees to the stage. I mean, just amazing, amazing stuff. So we'll talk more about the NFL draft as we march closer to that date. But you know, now with the Super Bowl in the bag and the Kansas City Chiefs winning that Super Bowl, you know, a lot of teams have, I guess, some kind of hope now. You know, a new year, clean slate. You got some hope going into next season. Jack, I'm gonna have to tally up our prop bets that we went through on Friday's show and see who came through with the dub there. But I know on one of them, Demi Lovato, man, she sung that national anthem very, very quick. Very quick national anthem. She did a great job, but Demi was well under because I timed it live time just to see, and it was like a minute and 40 seconds. And the Gatorade was orange. It was orange. And I think, I believe yourself, Jack, and who was in on Friday? I'm so bad with names. Was it Catherine that was in on Friday's show? Yeah, Catherine. I think both of you guys chose that was going to be orange. So, yeah. All right, listen to our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports. I'll read a few of your comments that are rolling in. And we've got Mike from Saginaw also on line one. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. A little under 5 minutes left here in the hour. We do have one text coming in from Drew, who says that my problem with the Super Bowl halftime show was that J-Lo didn't sing any full songs. I dig that. You know, some of those songs I definitely wanted to hear the full version of. But, you know, I guess because of the halftime time restrictions, you can't go all out on every single song. But I totally feel that, Drew, for sure. And then another text comes in and says that I think she spent 10 to 15 seconds on Ain't That Funny and maybe 30 to 45 seconds on Jenny from the Block. Wow, that's it? And those are two of my favorite songs from J-Lo. I have to go back and look at that now. Just 10 to 15 seconds on Ain't That Funny? Wow. And I wanted to see, that's the song I wanted to see Ja Rule come out on. That would have been fire. But I totally get that gripe, totally. And then when you have two performers, because you have Shakira as well, when she's got to do her set, then they come together at the end and kind of make it difficult, I guess, to do full songs. But totally get that. Thanks, Drew. Again, that text coming in at 517-355-9527. The same number that you use to call in to the show, you can also text us, and I'll read it live here on the airwaves. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Mike from Saginaw, who has decided to call in at the buzzer here. What's up, Mike?
What's up, Al? before I ask you about Michigan State, it was a football player from the Kansas City Chiefs. He only lived four blocks away from the football stadium there. Now, I know it's not in the city of Miami, but where is the location of the the Hard Rock Stadium at?
Yeah, it's in it's in of course Miami, but to be more specific, it's like in Miami Gardens, which is like, you know, the suburbs of Miami. So yeah, it's in Miami Gardens, Florida, though. But he said he lives right down the street from Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah,
doesn't surprise me.
I can't get his name, but it's in the USA Today. If you read it,
okay,
the sports section. It was one of the players that their mother just lived right down the street from the stadium, and he was guy in the stadium that used to sell beer and hot dogs and stuff in the concession stand. So
interesting. All right, I'm about to check out.
Pretty interesting read. Here's what I want to talk to you about. I noticed that the Super Bowl and everything. Do you think it's gotten too big now?
No.
What's your take on that?
I love how big it is. You know, this is America's sport, man. You know, it's, you know, the whole back in the day, baseball being America's pastime. Right now, football dominates here in America. So, you know, I will say this, because we're out of time, Mike, please call back tomorrow. Okay. I want to have this conversation longer because there is a point I want to make about how it has become an event for the elite. And it's becoming an elitist event. And I'll expound upon that on tomorrow's show. But we only got 30 seconds left.
Okay.
We'll be back at it. Same time. Same place tomorrow. We'll be recapping Michigan State and Penn State again. That tip time at the Breslin Center tonight is at 8 p.m. For those traveling to the game, drive safe. Enjoy the game. And we'll be back at it tomorrow to recap it all. Be easy, people.